Aloha. Welcome to
Hello, hello.
Unhooked.
I feel I should do a little tune now. We need a tune.
Well, we
We need
have
a
one.
tune.
We have an intro and an outro music. It's already played for those of you who are listening. Unless you're watching this
Oh.
on YouTube and then you don't get the intro and outro music, you just get us.
I haven't heard the intro.
Have you listened to our podcast, Mia? It's pretty awesome.
Haven't listened back, actually. I must, because apparently I say and are a lot. Pack it in, Ali.
It in.
Pack
All right,
it in.
let's get down to brass tacks.
Okay, cool. Today we are talking about micromanaging.
It's my favorite exercise. Next to complaining, I think, or gossiping, micromanaging might be my top five.
It's your favorite habit. Okay, so should we have a stab at defining
Indeed.
micromanaging?
What the hell is it? What is even that?
Well, I've got the Oxford Dictionary definition. No, you're not interested.
Okay, you can do Oxford. I'm going to join the 21st century and I'm going to tell you what ChatGPT says.
Oh
Go.
my
Ready,
God.
go.
Okay. Okay, well, the Oxford Dictionary defines it as controlling every part, however small, of X. So the task, the person, the X, whatever X is. What do you got?
It's real long, real long. Well, this says chat says that it's a management style, which I love because, like, I think micromanaging and mothering are like they're kissing cousins, right? Like moms, I think are some of the worst offenders in my experience. Like you tell your kids to do the thing, and then you like hover over them, and then chirp at them as they're. The manager closely observes or controls the work, often involving excessive attention to minor details.
Yeah, I've
Yes.
also got here, gives feedback, closely watches, gives a lot of feedback, usually critical.
Yeah.
So, few
I
places
like it.
we can go. We can look at, we'll look at all of it, but why do we do it? Or we can start with what does it look like? So how do we spot a case of micromanaging when we are doing it or we are in the midst of?
I have an example.
Okay, go.
So I have a client who they run a big like project management company, and they have guys in the field. And what they're trying to do is have the folks out in the field really own and be really highly accountable for the work that gets done in the field. And they're struggling with that. And what has happened, and what I've noticed as an outsider, is that the leaders inside the organization micromanage. And what that creates is the folks in the field don't have to own it. So, what happens, I think, is we want to control the outcome so much that we end up like inserting ourselves into the work or into the process. And if somebody inserts themselves into my, it's like if you're trying to learn how to play tennis and then I'm about to hit the ball over the net and you're like, give me the racket. And then you hit the ball over the net. You're like, see, like that. I'll never learn how to play. And so my story with this organization is this is 3 years now. And for 3 years, they've slowly been letting go of controlling the process and micromanaging. We had a conversation recently, and I said, so, but we're still having this ownership issue that, folks in the field aren't fully owning it. And I said, what's getting in the way? And one of the owners looked at me and he said, I just can't risk big mistakes. And like, what a beautiful place to land, right? Because He's not wrong. I mean, the stakes are big. This somebody could get hurt. You know, we can't risk big things. We can risk small things. So he's risked all the small things, and the ownership has come up, but the level of ownership that he would like means the mistakes also get bigger. And so, what do you do with all of that?
I'm thinking of personal parenting examples where, and I've shared one of these before on our podcast, where I don't do it now. I think I may have done it once the other day, but on the whole, I tend not to do it. But I used to walk past the oven when my sons were cooking, and I would turn the gas down. I had no clue where they were in the process of what they were doing. I wasn't talking to them. I would just walk past and go, well, that's way too high.
You
And I would
just
turn the gas down.
inserted yourself in their cooking.
Totally. And a more recent example, 21-year-old son ironing a shirt, hasn't had to wear shirts particularly, always worn those kind of like just the ones you hang up and they just sort themselves out, but had some sort of fancier shirts that needed ironing. And to be fair, this wasn't an example of unsolicited advice. He did solicit the support. He said, I don't really, this is difficult. Like a shirt is a really weird, wonky shape. And I really like when I iron this bit, that bit gets weird and scrunched up, and I'm unironing bits of it. You know, how do I do this? And I came over to give him some pointers. I ended up with the iron in my hand. So even though he had asked for pointers, but there
He's
may
no
have been
dummy.
another, there would have been another way to do it, where I could just have stopped at giving the pointers. Now I'm being a little harsh on myself, but it has come into my mind that, oh, I, you know, how you end up with the broom in your hand, or you end up with the iron in your hand, or you end up with the steering wheel in your hand because you're kind of like, give it to me.
Move.
I know how to do this thing. So I think how we spot it's happening is when we have, you know, to use your word, we've inserted ourselves. I'm stepping in. Often, the iron example is one where it was solicited, but often where it has been unsolicited, I've said, you go do that thing, or I don't even have to say that because it's not my life, it's my adult son's life. And I'm inserting myself in there, I'm getting myself in there and giving advice that isn't needed. And actually, I mean, we'll talk about the impact. But just to touch briefly on it now, the impact on me, I know there's an impact on him, but the impact on me is I don't feel very nice when I do it. I've started to really notice when I'm doing it, and it feels very inappropriate.
I feel embarrassed after. I feel when I'm, I noticed I did it at a party just this past weekend. And as we left the party, I was reflecting on how I had micromanaged somebody helping somebody else. And I was embarrassed. I was like, oh man. And my energy while I was helping was very frantic. It wasn't calm and grounded. I was like, hoo ha hee, and I was jumping around. It was very much my ego telling myself I'm such a good person.
Well, that's kind of like we're moving now into, so why do we do that? So you've got an example there of your ego. What needing, what did your
That
ego
I was
need?
valued and that I knew what to do and I'm helpful and look at her. We really like that Allison because she'll just jump in and give us a hand and she knows how to move somebody who is really, really elderly into a vehicle.
You're so good at that, Ali.
I don't
Whenever
want to
I need
brag.
an elderly person, whenever I need myself maneuvered into a vehicle, I will be sure
You
to
better
call
call
you.
me.
I will be
I'm
calling
your
you.
girl.
I will be calling you. I think another reason why we do it is in a, and this applies to leadership and management in the professional sphere and also in the personal, in the home and the parenting sphere.
Yeah.
So if I take it from a parenting perspective, initially with that child, I am doing all the work. I am doing
Yes.
all of the
Baby.
dressing, the caring, the wiping, the, you know, the keeping safe
Feeding.
of. I am, yes, I'm spooning, you know, so I'm doing all of the work. And then as that, now in management, you know, or in a professional situation, it would be because I was so good at my job, I would then be
Yes.
promoted. In the family instance, it's, there's a slight twist to it because obviously the young person, the child who then grows into an adolescent, who grows into a young adult, grows into an adult, they become more proficient. They become really good at their job.
Yes.
And
Yes.
so I'm sort of ousted. I am no longer needed. However, what remains is my years of experience, which is similar to the professional situation.
Yeah.
My years of experience mean that, well, I probably do know how to do the job better than you. Professionally, I've been promoted because I was so good at my job. And in my role as parent, well, I'm 110. You're only like whatever you are,
Yeah,
15. I
right.
clearly know how to do this better than you.
Right,
Let me
right.
get in there and show you the best
Yeah.
way to X, Y, Z, iron the shirt, reverse the car, whatever the thing is.
Yes.
And so I end up in a transition that is uncomfortable.
How
And
come?
often,
What's shifting in that transition?
I think for both, well, certainly for parenting, but I suspect it's the same in when we sort of like dig into it in our professional lives as well. I'm not needed in the same way, so my role has changed, and I
Yeah.
haven't had the training. I haven't been brought to consciousness. I'm not conscious of that change. And in the professional field, I'll stop talking in a second, but in the professional field, it's going to happen quite quickly. I've been promoted, and here I am at my new desk doing my new thing with my new role. In parenting, it's this gradual change, transition,
Yeah.
change, transition, change, transition. So you're in this constant process, which is actually quite challenging to manage and be in.
Yeah.
What I got.
I think it's I think what we're pointing at really is our identity keeps like getting pulled out from underneath us, especially in parenting. Although I don't know, I've had that happen professionally as well. In parenting, the child kind of decides when some children anyways, right? Like if you ever tried, if you've ever had a 3-year-old, you know, try to dress your 3-year-old. There will come a day when the 3-year-old's like, nope, me do it. And you're like, no, you don't put your pants on backwards. And they're like, me do it, right? And then my favorite is when I go out somewhere and I see a little 3-year-old and their pants are on backwards, right? Because you're
Wrong
just like,
shoes. Yeah.
that's not
Different
the
color.
battle we're gonna fight today, right? Like this 3-year-old wanted to wear his pants that way, it's the way it's gonna happen. But the identity starts to like get, it never is. Not stable, but it's never constant.
Yes.
So just when you think you figured it out, it changes again.
Yeah, it's constantly shifting.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And the same is true in the I think it's there's more of a defined change. You were here and then you've been promoted and now you're here, but there's a transition where the identity catches up.
Yeah. Yes.
And that's where in that sort of space, if you haven't had the support, you end up managing rather than leading people. And I think it's the same in the
100%.
parenting situation
Yes.
where you end up
Yes.
managing the situation rather than being an exemplary leader. I can't say that
Yeah.
word. Exemplary.
I think it's just one
Exemplary.
R. Exemplary.
Exemplary.
Nice job. Well done.
Exemplary. I like
I
all the
think
R's then.
great.
Exemplary leader.
the beauty in parenting is that when you try to manage your children, that typically doesn't go well after a while. And the beauty of like when you're in a workplace is eventually that's going to catch up with you, and someone or some you will be receiving feedback along the way from adults who are trying to be kind and compassionate with you, right? They'll be pointing at like your team. Are you building trust? Do you have fear of failure, right? We'll start to work through that. Whereas like a teenager isn't gonna, unlikely that a teenager is going to be like, I understand that your
Hey,
identity is
mom.
at risk and that you
Yeah.
really feel like you need to be needed. And I'm now growing into my adult. They're just like, get off my back, or they just don't come home by curfew, or they don't do the thing that they've asked, or they lie to your face, whatever. So it's like a all the time, just a 2x4 to the face. So you're jarred into the next iteration of that parent role.
So what is the impact? You've just said, they don't, and described a few of the things. One of the impacts that I notice, or that I'm aware of, is, and this is in both professional, and parenting or family personal sphere, is the dampening of capacity, the sense of capacity, the dampening of creativity. If I show you how to do it my way, and I insist that it is done my way, your way may never emerge because I have put my way in that in the space. And I think we can reduce other people's ability to trust themselves because we're
I would tweak it to,
stepping in.
yep, I would tweak it a little bit to say, people don't feel that we trust and believe in them.
Yeah, and I think with younger people,
Oh, yeah.
when you're forming your sense of self, if you keep getting the message, you can't do this thing, it can. So I think both and actually.
Yes.
Yeah,
Yeah, as
I
parent,
think
for
both
sure.
and. Yeah,
Yeah,
and
and
I
then you get
think at work, if
insecure.
I was repeatedly,
Yes.
give me the laptop.
Yeah, I'll do the email.
I'll do
Move.
it. Then I wouldn't, I think I really,
I'm an
eventually
idiot.
I might think, oh, Jesus, I clearly can't do the thing.
Well,
Yeah,
you and I
so.
have sh a shared experience of that very thing. We were part of an organization that is the impact that it had on us. That we were
Yes.
micromanaged out of a sense of insecurity, out of a sense of like lack of control and stress. I think stress brings out, if I were just to look at all the reasons why people micromanage, it's usually some type of stress. And then it could be, fear of failure or, what is my identity or whatever. But there's a stress that kicks that off. And then when
Yeah,
people start,
and we're guessing, sorry to interrupt you, but we're guessing at that the other side of it, but the experience was an increasing lack of self-trust and kind of
Because you and
thinking,
I would be
how
like, are we dumb? Is this,
am I get yeah, I'm getting
did he
worse
just,
at this. Yeah, I'm
yes.
getting worse at this, not better. It doesn't make sense. Yeah. So yeah, that's what other impacts? So sort of like, a dampening or crushing of creativity. There's my way or the highway, which is all sort of part of that same thing. There's only one way to do this, and it's my way to do it.
Well,
It's
and
my
people
way.
can't own if they don't have a part. So there was this really great video that I saw right after, I think it was George Floyd in America. This guy was killed by police officers and it went viral. And there was a massive uproar, especially in black communities. And there was a video from Minneapolis, St. Paul area. It was a black woman and she's standing in the middle of like this chaos and the city's, just been trashed, looted, windows broken, spray paint, everything destroyed. And she goes, do you understand when you ask why do they keep ruining all this property? She's like, hear me right now. This isn't ours. They've not been given not that they weren't given, but they this isn't theirs. So when there's a group of angry people and they bash in windows and they spray paint stuff, it's because there's like this lack of ownership at all. And when we look at teams or we look at families, you know, if I just had, let's just take a teenager, if I just say the curfew is midnight, okay, that's fine. But is your teen really bought in to the curfew? Why is there a curfew? What's the big deal? What's in it for them? So the impact is that, like, there's this, I think there's an undercurrent of resentment and maybe even resistance. But that's a potential impact.
I agree with those, and something else has come into my head. Was about what you said about mistakes earlier in the conversation.
Yep.
The impact, and it ties in with the creativity piece as well.
Yes.
Whilst I'm busy ironing out the opportunity for mistakes, I'm giving a really strong message that mistakes are bad.
Yes.
And so I'm creating an environment of tension where, like, oh, we don't get this wrong. And I am ruining, or I beg your pardon, ruling out the opportunity to iterate and find a better way
Right.
than the way I've always done the
Right.
thing.
Right.
You know? So yes, there's something about mistakes and mistakes being wrong,
Red
which
pen.
is red
Yeah.
pen, not a message. It's a message I grew up with, and it's had a really big impact on my life. And it's not a
Same.
message. It's a message I know I've given my sons, unintentionally.
Right.
You
Yeah,
know,
it's
and
this thing that, like, your deep-seated belief that you don't want to admit is that mistakes are bad. I've got that. It drives my, unintentionally in the subconscious, it's driving a lot of my actions, the way that I feel about things. I made just at the gym this morning, I was working on an Olympic lift, and there was somebody in the class that was watching me, and that really bothered me because I made a mistake. I didn't have proper form and I couldn't lift the bar. And I immediately was like, you know, there was like a smile on my face because I was uncomfortable because people were watching me. And then what does that make that, you know, what kind of person can't do this? I've been here 2 years, like all the lunacy that happens inside the head, the stories.
And it's so crippling and inhibiting. And every time I insert myself, I am saying, you're doing it wrong. Let me. Not wrong, you're doing it wrong, you're not doing it well enough. Let me show you.
And don't
You
bother
know?
doing it until you can do it well.
Yeah.
Like, that's such, you can't. If
Yes,
we
go and
said that
learn
to
secretly.
babies,
Yes.
don't walk until you can do it
Until you
without
can do it
falling.
properly. Yeah. Totally.
So,
So what practices can we
yes.
take on? The first one that comes to my mind is the simplest one, and it's always the one to start with, which is just noticing that I'm doing it.
Notice is always the first step. And then I also like, I think this works really well for personal and professional, but focus on relationship before task. So if there's something that's really big at stake and I really want my team, I want my kids, I want my spouse, whatever, all the people that I micromanage, by the way, I want them to really come along with me. I need to get back in relationship with them because that's where we can foster that trust. That's where we can be like, if the relationship matters to me, I'm going to check in with them more often. And I'm not going to hover. I'm not going to like peek from behind. I'll check in. How are things going? What are you noticing? And making it really safe for them to be like, well, I sent out these emails. I think I've screwed everything up. Ah, okay. Let's talk about what are we going to do now. So it's like you're constantly checking in and you're constantly like helping them connect their own dots because the relationship is the part that matters. If you develop that relationship, they can tell you stuff.
Yeah, in supervision, you're just making me think about in supervision with Chris, I am able to bring my mistakes because they're not a big deal. It's like, okay,
You have a really great, because your relationship, Chris and you have focused on the relationship is always more important than the task at hand. And that's same with raising kids. My son lost the key to the boat yesterday. He's downtown. He calls me.
Buying a new boat.
He's like, I don't know what to do. I've lost the key. And he's like, I'm so sorry. He was like really like falling on his sword. I said, we'll figure something out. We'll get a tow. We'll find another key. We'll Turns out we have a spare. So that was great. I just had to drive. Oh, he felt so bad. It's like, but he can tell me, right? Like he can come to me and be like, I screwed up. I don't know what I did. Probably won't do it again, right? But yeah, so you make that the relationship mean a lot, and you really nurture that relationship over and over again, whether it's work or family or personal. I think now you open up the space like, hey, I'm really worried about letting you take the boat because I think you're going to get into an accident, or whatever.
Yeah, I think another practice that I've noticed myself doing recently is calling myself out when I have
Transparency.
inserted myself.
Same. I do that too.
And then having a conversation. And so when I relate that to a family situation, so I'm talking about one of my sons, we then have a conversation about, was there an impact?
What is
Is
going on?
that how he experienced it? And what I've noticed recently is actually it isn't how he's experienced it, but I've got a lot of sensitivity around micromanaging and not wanting to, even though there's a really strong urge, and I'm, release your hands, step back. So I think a bit of, I'm not so much practicing biting my tongue, but I'm practicing noticing and going, oh, hang on, that just came out of my mouth and it feels like I micromanaged. Hang on, let me just take that to the
Yes.
person and
Let
say,
me try
that's
again.
what that looked like to me. What was your experience of that? They're like, oh, okay, yeah, maybe a bit, or no, not really, or whatever, and in that process, I'm learning.
I love it. I love it. Same. The way I also encourage people to just laugh at themselves. My husband and I now have a language around this. And so the joke will be like, oh gosh, let me help. And then we'll all laugh. Because I will have inserted myself into something that I don't know anything about. Everybody else was perfectly fine. And I jump into the middle and I'm fixing it. And my husband now will like just step back and I'll be like, oh, let me help. And then we'll all laugh. It's like, I'm doing it again. So catching yourself and then having a laugh about it and then stepping back out. Let me try
That's so
again.
nice.
Yeah, it's a nice way to kind of clean up a mess. Like I see I made a mess. Oops, I noticed. Let me
And it
do
makes
over.
mistake, if we could just hold that as a mistake, it makes mistake or practicing and failing, or stumbling, not such a big deal.
Yeah, it's very small.
So, takeaway from today? I feel we're very efficient, Alison.
God, Mia, let's just do 10-minute podcasts. Less words, more power.
Like when they do the terms and conditions at the end of an advert, and they go,
Yes. What
So,
are my
have you got a
takeaways? Do you
takeaway?
attend? I don't know. You go first. I wasn't ready. We're going too
Okay.
fast. I'm going to
Okay,
sit in my
my
thought here.
takeaway. I think the piece that I find particularly interesting is the shift from me being the hands-on worker to my role changing. And then I'm in a transition, and change is quick. I had red trousers on, now I'm wearing pink ones. But the transition of the experience of wearing the pink trousers, walking around in them all day, is different. So I think that's the bit that's my takeaway as being the most interesting thing for me. Is that clear?
That it's shaky foundation. You're a little bit off balance for a bit.
I've moved into something new, but I didn't quite notice. It's very gradual. So I'm still behaving like I was in the old job.
Because you know that one. We'll always go back to what we know. I think my takeaway is when you said that it dampens people's capacity and creativity, that one like really landed with me. It's a really nice verb. Like it dampens. It doesn't crush it, but it certainly like makes it not so great.
Yeah, takes the edge off it.
Dampens it. So that's one of the impacts that's like, if you do that a lot of many times over a long time, you can see how morale and retention and things, you know, the way we feel about each other and
Yeah, the impact on morale.
yeah, in inside family as well as inside team.
Yes, totally, totally. 100% the impact on morale.
There's the Gabor Mate and Daniel Mate's Fresh Start, that workshop that you and I have both gone through. They said, once your kids are, I don't remember what the age was, let's say 16 or 17, it is a choice for your child to have a relationship with you. And when you said dampen creativity and dampen capacity, like that hit me because I never, that's going to impact my children choosing relationship with me.
Yes, because I don't want to spend time with someone who I feel diminished in the
Correct.
presence of, that I feel my capacity, my
Yes.
competence, my confidence is
Yes.
dampened around you. My
Yeah.
power is
Yeah.
dampened.
Right.
I th that is not a pleasant experience.
I and children will not choose that. I
No.
humans will not,
Yeah.
probably not choose it.
And
No.
if they do end up going through it, it will be a case of going through the motions of
Yeah, it'll be compliance.
dutiful,
Yeah.
compliant,
Yes.
spending time with mother,
Yeah. It'll be done out of
mater
obligation.
or pater, as opposed to from an
Yeah.
open expression of free will and desire.
Well done,
Nailed
lady.
it.
All right. We're going to end it now.
End it, end it.